Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to each and everyone, and happy Monday. Thank and praise the Lord. Today is Monday. I don't know about you, but I thank and praise the Lord. I'm among the living and not the dead. I thank and praise the Lord. As the old saints used to say, another day the Lord done kept me, another day that the Lord hath spared me. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad that you tune in, and I trust you had a glorious and a victorious week. And y'all know my favorite word is, this is the day that the Lord have made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be alive. I am, you know. I'm learning, the more I walk with the Lord, I'm learning to appreciate and be more grateful for every day. And I'm learning how to use my time and my days wisely. I just thank and praise the Lord for what he's doing in my life. I thank and praise the Lord for my family. And I always thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong, you know, for him and the Lord allowing us to play a part in this broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord. We've been talking about, for the really most of the month of September, we've been talking about the power of our will. God gave us free will. And, you know, when the reality of that really keeps in, it lets you know you have a part to play in your own life. We can will to rebel against God, or we can yield our will over to him. You know, all through the Bible, as I read, all even in the Old as well as the New Testament, you see where a lot of people rebel against the will of God, and they substituted their own will or did what they wanted to do. And it caused a lot of disaster. It caused a lot of trouble. It's just like Adam and Eve, as an act of their will, they choose to rebel against God. And what they did affected all mankind. The Bible said by one man caused sin. He brought sin upon all humanity. And one man, who is Jesus, died for sin, and he delivered us from it. So there too again, you know, I just thank and praise the Lord. And I just want to take time and going into prayer, but I want to thank the Father. I just want to magnify the Lord. I just want to give him some praise this morning. And I hope you that have tuned in, if it's possible, that you can just lift your hands and we just want to praise him. Father, it's in the master's name of Jesus. First, I enter to your gates with thanksgiving. Father, I just want to say thank you for not only being my Father, but being the creator of all mankind. I want to thank you, Father, for who you are and the things that you do. I praise you, even Father, when I don't understand everything that happened in my life and even happened in the world, but I thank you that I know you know, Father. And I thank you for your son, Jesus. I praise you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, I acknowledge you as my Savior, my Lord, my provision, my healer, my strength. I thank you, Jesus, for submitting yourself to the Father, that you gave up your life that we may have a right to life. I want to tell you thank you. I give honor to the Holy Spirit, and Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit, I will to submit to you. Help me. And I thank you that you is the power. You is the power that you release the ability to all mankind, those that choose the will to obey the Father. Oh, Father, I thank you. And again, I just want to tell you thank you. I want to thank you, God. You've been long-suffering with all of us. God, you've been patient with us, Father. And for that, I tell you thank you. Thank you for the finishing work of Jesus. Because of Jesus, when one songwriter wrote the song, because he lived, I can face tomorrow. I thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and well. I thank you for everything that the enemy did to try to keep mankind from being reconnected or reconciled to the Father. You fixed it that we can be restored and reconciled. And for that, I tell you, thank you. I just thank you, Father. I thank you and I praise you for Jesus. I thank you for Isaiah 53:4-5. I thank you for Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this new covenant, this better covenant that we have. Oh, Father, forgive us when we choose to want to just do it our way, when we just want to be downright rebellious and stubborn. Father, forgive us. I thank you for the enlightenment, the revelation that you continue to bring. Father, I thank you for my children. I thank you for my grandchildren, my great-grand. I give you praise right now. Father, we just bless you. I thank you for this broadcast that being viewed all over the world, those that have tuned in. I pray, Father, that you will continue to strengthen them in their inner man by your Spirit. And, Father, even things that is happening all over the world, and a lot of us don't understand. We don't understand, but Father, help us not only to continue to believe the sovereign of you, God, but to trust you. Help us not to waste our time on trying to figure out things and getting all upset because we don't have the answer to the why. Help us to continue to trust you. Father, you were saying to me early this morning, keep the faith. Father, help us. Help us to keep the faith in these last days. As the Holy Spirit continue to reveal things to us, help us to keep the faith. I plead the blood of Jesus over the mind of those that have tuned in. I plead the blood of Jesus against distress, frustration. I even come against those suicide thoughts. I bind and cancel those thoughts in the minds of the people right now. I come against overwhelmed grief. Oh, Father, help. Help the people to continue to trust you. Even, Father, that parents that praying for that prodigal child, Father, help them to keep the faith. Help them to not just keep on believing you, but trust you. Israel saw the 10 signs that you manifest yourself through. You brought them out of Egypt with a strong hand, but when they got in the wilderness, Father, they believed that you could, but they didn't trust you to bring them into the promised land. They were focused more on their situation and their circumstances more than they was on what you could do and what you had did in the past. So, Father, I pray for those that dealing with certain types of illness or whatever. Father, help them to keep the faith. And, Father, I even pray this morning, even as Paul prayed for the church established, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, glory, that you may give unto us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of you. Father, I pray for our spiritual eyes to come open, that we would know what is the hope of your calling for our life, that we would know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Father, we have access is dwelling on the inside of us as believers. And those that don't even know you, you said, how can one enter to a strong man's house except he first bind the strong man? I bind strong man Satan in the minds of the peoples that don't know you. I even come against the spirit of doubt and unbelief right now. I bind it. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I pray that you would send the perfect layman through people past to witness to them that they'll receive your word. Father, even let us know that Jesus is soon to come. Open up the believers' eyes that those even been contemplating giving up, that they won't give up, that they won't throw in the towel, but they'll continue to strengthen, Father, as Paul prayed for the church, strengthen them in their inner man by your Spirit. And Father, we just praise you and we bless you today. I want to thank you again, Father, for the finished work of Jesus, for sending your Son, that we can stand. You done gave us authority and power over the enemy. Father, open up our spiritual eyes even more to know that the greater one that's on the inside of us, that our faith, you gave us faith. The same faith, God, that you operate in, the same faith that Jesus operated in when he was on the earth. We have access to that faith. Oh, Father, I praise you and I bless you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As I stated, I just want to just thank God is so good, thanks. But the more knowledge and understanding I get about the power of the will, we are free moral agents. God gave us a will, and we can choose. Remember, we went to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and it tell us that God gave us the power of choice. We can choose to do it God's way, or we can choose not to. Remember, our foundation scripture was in Isaiah, the first chapter. What the Lord, what he told them, he told them to, if they willing and obedient, they will eat the good of the land. And so many times I don't hear people mumbling, complaining, I've been down that road, you know. God, you said this in your word, but this ain't happening, this is this. God, listen, all of God promised a yea and amen, but those promises is conditional. Come on, somebody. Those probably is conditional because we have a will and we have the power to choose. Anytime we choose to rebel against the commandments of God, the laws and principles of God, we're going to suffer the consequences. Now, I know some people might say, well, prophet, I'm a believer. I don't live right and bad things still happening. Yes, just cause you're a born-again believer, we're not excluded from affliction and persecution. That's part of life. You know, just like dying is part of life. Dying is part of life. And we have to learn how to continue to trust the Lord, you know. So we're going to continue with this. This might be my last day talking about the power of the will. Somebody said, that's all she's been talking about, the will. Listen. You know, whenever I go, especially in the four gospels, in the epistles, you find out each one of those apostles, even in the four gospels, they talk about their experience. You know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of them talk about their experience with Jesus. Then you go in the epistle, each one of those apostle talk about their experience with the Holy Spirit. They talk about, and God have them to tell us how we supposed to live and all of that. You know, I know everybody don't have their experience with God. It's not the same as mine, but I know that the same word, the word of God don't change. You know, that's the thing about it. The word of God don't change. Now, God meant to change, and God will meet you where you are, you know. But the good news is, if you're sick, you don't have to stay sick, you know. Now, like I said, I the Bible tells us that appointed unto man wants to die. That's something that I communicate with my children and my grandchildren. I'm going to die one day. I'm going to leave here. I'm not. It was never God's plan for me to live on this side for all eternity. But where I go from here, that's where I be for eternity. But that's something we talk about, and you know, and that's why we need to realize, you know, I don't care how good you are or whatever, you have an appointment with death. All of us do. The Bible said the death of the saints are precious in God's sight. My baby brother went home to be with the Lord in August. of 2022. And it really broke my heart. You know, I wept. Yes, I wept, but it wasn't because I didn't know where he was going. I wept because I'm going to miss him sitting on the porch. And one thing that my baby brother and I would do when I would go visit him, we would sit and eat honey bun and drink Pepsi. And you know, and just conversate. You miss your loved one when they leave. But the thing about it, that way God planned this thing, you're going to see them again. And, you know, that's why it's so important that you need to read the word and trust the Holy Spirit to bring the enlightenment and understanding. I want us to go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We're going to go back in the Corinthians, according, if you go in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Apostle Paul was rebuking them because of their immaturity, but he even took it further. They called that. He said they were condemned-minded Christians. They was condemned-minded Christians. Instead of them allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them, they allowed their flesh, their outward man, to lead them. You know, they was doing all kind of things. They were fornicating. They was doing a lot of stuff, but they had received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's just that they hadn't renewed their mind, and because of unrenewed mind, they were still doing things that weren't pleasing to God. We see that in the world today. We see some people that consider themselves to be Christians, but their lifestyle is like they are not saved, you know. And we need to realize that God is not pleased with such a lifestyle. Amen. God is not pleased with it. But let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. As I stated, we're going back there because, like I said, Paul was warning them about the way they was living. Paul was warning them how they was living. They would continue to allow their flesh desires to dominate them instead of being led by the Spirit. He even said in that ninth chapter, let's look at the 24th verse in that ninth chapter. He said, "Know ye not that we which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things." See, like he was dealing, they were kind of Christian. They was not disciplined themselves. He would use words that where the people was and that they was able to define it, that they was able to understand it better. And, you know, where my level of faith at, I know your faith is not there, but at the same time, as I stated, the word of God do not change. And like I said, what I love about this, because we dealing with a lot of things when it comes down to our flesh desires, and Paul said, in Romans the 7th chapter, if you go read Romans the 6th, 7th, and 8th, Paul was struggling with his fleshly desires, and Paul couldn't understand, "I don't have a sin nature, but why is I'm still wrestling with flesh desires?" And he found out, even though he didn't have a sin nature, but he still had his flesh desires, but he did not have to obey, allow his flesh desires to dominate him. And this is what he was trying to tell the Corinthians when he was telling them what scribes and division it and all that. You still, you're acting like mere men. When he would tell, you're acting like carnal people. You're acting like people, fleshly, allowing their flesh. And listen, we have authority over the flesh. Let me read on. I mean, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he said, the 25th verse, and every man that strive for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word, he talking about self-control. And you know what? If you don't control your flesh desires, they will control you. Now, remember, we went and Apostle John said that we're not supposed to love the world. He said, because in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. And that's why he was saying it can be dangerous. And that's why I said we still have our flesh with us, and flesh have desires. But it's God's will for us to dominate the flesh. That's why Paul said in this 27th verse, when I get there, he said, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 25th verse, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible crown. He's talking about like somebody running a race. People that run a race, participate in any kind of race, they discipline people. They make sure that their body they have to have a certain weight. They can't allow their body weight to be so heavy that it hinders them in running. They have certain clothes that have to run when they run. But other words, they live a disciplined life. They live temperance. They have self-control. And this was Paul. He always took spiritually things. He took natural things to explain the spirit realm, spiritual things. That's what he always did. And that's what he was telling me. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Paul was making a bold statement because, like I said, they was carnal-minded Christian. They was allowing their flesh. They was inscribed. They were even, some of them were fornicate. Some of them went back to, they were still dealing with idol because they were idol worship. He was telling them that. He was trying to get them to get out the flesh, stop allowing their flesh to dominate them, and live according to the Spirit. And see, in Acts, the 2nd chapter, when Jesus told them in the 1st chapter, they go in the upper room and stay there till they be endued with power. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you've been born again, and I trust you ask the Holy Spirit, you welcome him in your life, but I found out the Holy Spirit is not going to override our will. The Holy Spirit will say, walk this way, or tell us to do that or don't do that. But if we want to override him or rebel against what he said, he will leave us to ourselves. Jesus made a bold statement, if any man going to follow after me, let him deny himself. But as I stated, Paul was dealing with his flesh desire, but Paul came into the knowledge, the understanding, the revelation, the realization, yes, I have flesh desire, but my spirit man, what I yield to the Spirit, I can cause my flesh to stay in place or come in total submission. See, you know, I had to learn. You know, I used to hear people say, God will put you on your back. No. God is not going to make me do nothing. Now, because I have a free will, I can choose things. Come on, somebody. I can choose some things, and God would allow it to cause me to do that, to have. You see, when we choose to rebel against God, it's consequences. When you and I choose to disobey what God say do, his consequences that come with it, because God already done put laws into place. Just like we have natural laws, we have spiritual laws. And I was studying it back the other week, and as I came up on some things, and I wrote, I always be writing notes. And like I said, when it come down to facts, and the Lord helped me with this, and he brought some understanding there, he said facts can be changed. Truth can't. Truth supersedes facts. Spiritual law supersedes natural. Now, just like, and like I said, you got to understand. That's why sometimes when you see some Christian, better yet, experiencing defeat in their life, all the time. You might wonder now, what's the problem there? But do you not know that somewhere they're either walking in ignorance, or they walking in unbelief, or they walking in disobedience or rebellious, you know? And that's why sometimes we don't know exactly all the time what happened, but Jesus paid for us to walk in victory while we living in a fallen world. As I stated in the beginning, I can't explain everything. I don't understand some things myself. But one thing I do know, and God taught me this, regardless to what's happening on this earth, when I don't understand, he wants me to continue to believe and trust him, put myself in his care, and know that God is doing what is most needful for me. He gonna work the situation that what is best for me, okay? But there too again, as I wrote these notes, truth supersedes facts. Spiritual law supersedes natural and physical law. For example, the law of gravity, for example, is a fact. But there is a higher law than the law of gravity. It is the law of lifting. The law of lifting supersedes the law of gravity. What you say? I'm saying that spiritual laws supersede physical laws, a natural law. They supersede it. And that's why, you know, if somebody's sick, they can be changed. Now, some people, well, Prophet Miller, why do some people, when they're sick, they die with it? Well, I can't explain all the whys, as I stated a lot of times. And I try not to attempt to do that, but I do know this. If they die, then they in the very presence of the Lord. And the Bible said that the death of the saints are precious in God's sight. So that's something you would have to go to God and really find. But I had to learn when my mother passed, when my oldest sister, my oldest brother passed, my father passed, and other people that I loved that were close to me. When they passed, it hurt it. I wept, but I had to trust God with the why. And so many saints, if you ain't careful, what you don't know, or better yet, what you don't understand, the enemy will use that right there to cause you to throw in the towel or give up on God. And y'all, I'm telling you, in the hour, in the time that we live in, keep the faith, the faith. I learned that God is a good father. No, I don't understand all it is to know about the sovereign God, but I learned not only to believe him, but I learned to trust him. He's my father. I'm a parent. My children grown now. But it was a lot of time my children would come to me, Mama, why does, Mama, why does, why does, why does? I would tell them sometimes, look, I know what I'm doing. You the child, I'm the grown-up. You the child, I'm the parent. You just got to trust me. Well, I learned with my relationship with God, I had to do the same thing. And we in that hour in time, we might not understand. We might not can't explain everything. But listen, that's where trust come in. Those things say you got to trust them when you can't trace them. Well, I'm saying you got to trust him when you can't make sense out of life. You don't understand everything. And I believe in God's eyes, we are always be children, you know. So we have to trust him when it don't make sense, when we can't figure it out, when we don't understand why things happen. And the Lord always told me this as well. Anything gonna make you. Anything that gonna cause you in life, anything in life that gonna cause you to distrust me, give up on me, and be quick to cast those thoughts down. Be quick to replace those thoughts, because the enemy don't want us to believe God. He don't want us to trust God, and that's why he'll put them question marks. That's how he got Eve out of line. He put that little question mark up there. Did God say it? He always want us humans to think we smarter than our creator. I'm not smarter than God. I'm not smarter than probably the next person. But I do know what I do know, and I'm going to continue to believe. I'm going to hold fast to the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation that God done gave me. Now, I can't change what people think or what I don't try to live by that. But my point, what are you talking about? I'm still talking about your will. It's a free money, and God allow you to choose. God allow you to choose to flow with him or obey or submit to him or don't. And believe it or not, one of our major, the devil ain't so much, and I had to learn this through studying, the devil is not my major problem. My major problem is my flesh. That's why Jesus told them disciples, if you're going to follow after me, you're going to have to deny yourself. Apostle Peter picked it up, and he said, for as much as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself likewise. Suffer in the flesh, what do you mean? When flesh cannot have its way. As we stated on Friday, flesh be wanting to get revenge. When flesh can't have its way, flesh can be like a little child. It'll have a tantrum. It'll try to torment you or harass you when it can't have its way. But we have the authority to keep our flesh desires under total submission. And like I said, I want to go and read this, like I said, because the law of lifting. Like I said, gravity is the law, but it's the law that supersedes gravity, and it's the law of lifting. Sickness and disease are facts, but those facts can be superseded by the truth, and that means the truth is a higher law. And truth, the word of God, which is truth. But I want to read that because we have to learn that facts can be changed, because it's a spiritual law, which is true, can change facts. But there too, again, as I stated, we constantly still talking about your will. You can sit up and will not to do something, and you won't do it. You can will. And I found out once you come in the kingdom, when we will to obey, and y'all, I'm telling you, our will, when we will to obey God, that's when we're going to experience the victory, when we will to humble ourselves and submit and obey what God's word telling us. We're going to experience the peace of God more. Now, not saying you're going to be exempted from affliction, persecution. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you will experience the peace that Jesus won for you. You will experience the victory. Okay, and now I'm going back to First Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 9th chapter, I'm sorry. First Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Let's look at that 27th verse. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now look, he said, but I. He talking about his flesh desire. He talking about the spirit man. And see, that's why the Bible tells us a strong spirit. When your spirit is strong and you feed your spirit with the word of God, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The written word of God, they spirit, and you have to feed your spirit. And I feed my spirit every day when I read the word. And once I read it, I say, okay, I'm going to line up with this. If I choose to line up, or better yet, embrace and choose to do what the word say, guess what? Them flesh desires may try to rise up, but I won't yield to them. And this is what Paul was saying. Took it right on into that 10th chapter. Now, he said in the last verse of that 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians 9, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now he bringing it into this temptation. He said, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spirit to me, and did all drink. And you see, he kept talking about the all, because Nobody was exempted from the Father feeding them and leading them and protecting them. Nobody was exempted. But then at that fifth verse, he said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they was overthrown in the wilderness. And as I stated, here go Paul. He bringing today, our remember, we in this new covenant, he bringing to us. And see, we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. Listen at me good. We have a better covenant with better promise, but there too again, his conditional. Even though we in a covenant with God, but God still require us to humble ourselves and submit ourselves and obey his commandments. No, God don't expect for you to be perfect, because God know none of us perfect. But God do not want us, as he stated with Apostle John, God do not want us to go around here and practice sin. Even as Apostle Paul, remember Apostle Paul said in the sixth chapter of Romans, he said, shall we continue sin that grace may abound? God forbid us to continue to practice it because grace is available. Now, in First John, the first chapter, the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us. That don't mean I'm going around here practicing. Yeah, we miss it sometimes. But the moment we miss it, we can, as a born-again believer, we can repent. We can confess it, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from it. But we don't go around here practicing sin. That we have to know how to rightly divide it. But like I said, as Apostle Paul coming into this 10th chapter, he said a lot of them, God was not pleased with them because they was overthrown in the wilderness. And the reason why they was overthrown in the wilderness, instead of them humbling themselves and submitting to what God was saying to Moses, and then when Joshua took over, they wouldn't do it. Come on now. And y'all, with this better covenant, now, you know, even though back then, Paul letting us know, don't act like they did, you see. And some people say, well, if I were living back then, if God did for the world, y'all, let me tell you something. I found this out. When I look at what they experienced and some of the things we experienced, yes, they experienced some hard stuff. But then the power of God was being revealed to them as well. I don't know how I would have took it if I were back there, especially when God had Moses depart the Red Sea and that water bill. Y'all, let me tell you the truth. When I think about some of the things that God did back then that manifest himself to the people that let the Israelite know, I choose you all, not because they were so special, but that's what God chose them. You know, God can choose whoever you want to choose. But the way God, the sea, the water turned into blood on one side, and on one side it wasn't the sun. Y'all, that would have really did something to me. But, you know, just like back then, God had some of them to rebel. Even when God, and that's why he was talking about how the same, they were baptized, the cloud and the sea, and some of they seen it, you know, and they still rebel against God. Well, guess what? Some of the things God done did for some of the people now, and they still rebel against it. And we got something better. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. God got rid of this sin nature, okay? But then I want to get into this. And he said in the sixth verse, he said, now these things, look at the sixth verse. I'm in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. He said, now these things were our example to the extent we should not lust after evil things as they also did. Paul was telling the Corinthians, now God don't want you to lust and yield to the same thing that they did. And see, that's why a lot of things happening on this earth, and I'm going to say this, and I want people to understand. Listen, God loves all humanity. God done let us know God have a problem with homosexuals and lesbians. Yes, he do. He love them, but he hate their lifestyle. He hates sin, y'all. And this will, but the enemy will have homosexuals and lesbians to believe that God don't like them. God love everybody. God love everybody, but when you go to Romans, the first chapter, it tells you because of our will, the way God could, all us know it's a God. Don't let the enemy be, and that's where the deception come in. The enemy wants people to believe God didn't know what he was doing, you know. And then I even had some people where you don't see Jesus coming against homosexuals. When you go in the gospel, Jesus said what God said about marriage. And God always intended for a man and a woman to come together so they can reproduce. Two males cannot reproduce. Two females can't reproduce, y'all. But God loved them, but he hates their lifestyle. And God will not tolerate. He condemned their lifestyle. He will not tolerate with their lifestyle. And Jesus, God's son Jesus, to make a way for all of us escape. He made a way that we don't have to stay in bondage to sin. Deception is so powerful. God said if he don't shorten the days, the very elect will be deceived. And see, because of the power of our will, the power of choice, we can choose. If you're in any kind of bondage today, if you're dealing with any kind of addiction today, you can cry out and say, Lord, save me. You can cry out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. God, help me. I don't like this addiction. I don't like this lifestyle of me. You can be set free. Listen, Jesus ain't lost his power. The blood of Jesus ain't lost his power. The authority in God's word is still stronger today than it ever been. But the spirit of deception had, oh, they can't. No, you wouldn't. It's all kind of laws that trying to support homosexuality. That's not God. But that's what the enemy trying to do. And we as born-again believers, you can be set free. You can be set free. But let me go. But anyway, in that seventh verse, he said, neither be ye idolater as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, he used that word neither in that seventh, in the eighth, and the ninth verse. And there, too, he trying to get us to see, I don't want you to do what they did. They was a that they like the way they dealt with God trying to help them. It's a warning to you and I that God don't want us to do the same thing that they did. Come on now. Then he said, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Something the very some of the children of Israel that God brought out of Egypt with a strong hand because of they choose as an act of their will to rebel against what God was telling Moses to tell them to do. And he said, don't fornicate as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. You see, some people want you to believe since we have grace, oh, we can just sin. No, we can't. That's not. Y'all, God is a holy God. God's still asking for holiness. God's still asking us to come out from among them, to be ye separate. And Paul even said this to the Corinthians. He said, come out from among them. You don't need to be walking around here with these unbelievers, those that choose, that don't want to live. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separated from them. Touch not the unclean things. And not only God, as God my creator and he's my heavenly father, he ain't going to ask me to do anything that he have not given me the power to do it or the ability to do it. And this is what he said. And we got to really take a look at what's happening. We write that what Paul told Timothy. Many is departing from the faith. They're giving heed to doctrine and teaching of the devil. And one of them is you can live any kind of way. God, yes, listen. God do it. God to come as you is. But God ain't going to let you stay like you is. Once you come into the kingdom of God and you start reading this word and seeking out the laws and principles of God, the Holy Spirit going to help you. He helped all of us. But some people, I can come as I is and stay like that. No, 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 no. Ain't no way you can accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and if you truly listen at him. And you know, if you truly receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you ain't going to continue to practice sin. As Apostle John said, you because the Spirit of God that is in you, it's not, you ain't gonna have peace about continuing to sin. Well, Prophet Miller, what about people hiding that? Yes, people can do that. But let me tell you something, they're on danger ground. They're on danger ground. But he go on to tell him, he said, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3 in 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and was described a serpent. And like I said, he telling them right here, don't do what they did. Do you see what he telling them? Don't do it. Come on, somebody. He telling them what not to do. He telling them, don't do it. And I'm telling you, we living in a time now that there's so much of pressure that try to cause people to ignore these lessons. You know, ignore what Paul is telling the Corinthians. You know, in the beginning, when you go to in First Corinthians, I think the third, they was in the debate. They were dealing with a lot of division. They had respected leaders. They was exalting Apollo above Paul and Paul above, and he was trying to tell them, you don't do that. Yeah, we got that going on today. We got that going on today. Listen, don't get so busy that you won't make time to spend with the Lord and make time to get in this word so he can help you to rightly divide the word. Don't get so busy. Y'all, it's so many things can detract us and cause us to lose focus. And this is what Paul was trying to tell them. Don't lose focus on really the most needful thing. Don't lose focus on what the children of Israel did after God had brought them out of Egypt. And they begin to mummy complain, and they begin to sin, and how the earth opened up, how so many of them fell dead. He warning them. And y'all listen, God warning us today. I know that we have grace, but as I stated, grace is not a license to sin. Don't take God's grace for granted. Don't do it. I had to learn myself. I still have flesh desires, and those desires always trying to get me to rebel against God. But I had to learn like Apostle Paul learned. When I yield to the Holy Spirit, when I do what the words say do, it keeps my flesh on the toll of submission to the Holy Spirit. And this was, he even went, look at that night verse. He said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and was described a serpent. Neither murmured ye as some of them also murmured and was described of the destroyer. He warned them. Now, you know, and that's why a lot of times when I read the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets he fulfilled, and he was constantly going back and putting us in remember of the prophecy. Now here, Apostle Paul with the Corinthian church, he going back and warning them and telling them, don't be like the children of Israel, the Israelites. Out of all God did for them, so many of them died. And the Bible even talk about they wandered in the wilderness because of disobedience. You know what I found out? You can choose to rebel and disobey God if you want to. You'll wander around in the wilderness till you die out. Y'all, this is true. And you know, we need to go back to some of the basic things about Christianity. You know, some of the things that people don't lose sight of. You know, like giving God the reverent fear like they used to, you know. Now people just feel, I can live any way I want to. I got grace covering me. Grace got my back. Grace don't have your back for you to sin. But grace have your back because grace know you is not perfect. But grace is there to help you if you really want to live right. If you really want to obey God, that's the kind of Father that we have. And in that 11th verse, I'm coming in that number, he said, now all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for our admonishment upon who the end of the world are come. So, like I said, he said, don't do like them. Come on, somebody. He's talking to all of us. Don't do what they did and make excuses. Because, like I said, we're living in that time that people don't realize, yeah, you have a will, but you're not supposed to allow your will to control you. Come on now. We're not supposed to allow our will to control us. And like I said, he was warning them against sin and falling from grace. He was trying to let them know, like I said, the Israelite, as God elect, though they could safely enter the sin of adultery, yet they met with condemnation. So also those who believe can secure living, kind of gratification. And that's the thing I had to learn. And this was Paul. Go back and read Romans the 7th chapter in its entirety. Paul found out, I can be saved, but I still have fleshly desires. And that's the part that Jesus, once I get born again, no, I don't have a sin nature, but these fleshly desires, I can control them. That's why he even taught one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, temperance. You know, God rebuked me, ain't been too long ago, about my eating habits. He said, the enemy using your flesh eating habit, flesh desire, lusting after certain food, to put a knife to your throat. Come on, somebody. See, you know, until I came into the, a lot of time I said, Lord, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. And one day the Lord gave me this revelation one day. He said, and he said, would you ask your children to do anything that you know that they cannot do it? Would you ask them to do something you know they can't? No. He said, would you rebuke them? That's it. He said, would you rebuke them or discipline them for something you know that they don't have the power to overcome? I said, no. He said, well, I'm the same way about you. Our Heavenly Father, God adopted us. Well, you know, we were Gentiles, so in any way, God would never ask us to do anything that he know. And if he know we can't do it, he give us. That's what one of the things I love about grace. Grace helped me to do what I can't do. Grace helped me to do what I don't have the ability to do. But if I will to do it, it enabled me to do it. That's one of the work of the power of the Holy Spirit. He will enable us. Don't you know? If you want to sit down and read your Bible in your flesh, it's saying, I don't want to read. But if you said, no, I'm going to read, your flesh will just come under. Come on. If you choose to, it'll just come under. But if you've been allowing your flesh to dominate you, it's hard to bring it back in check sometimes. I've been down that road. And I'm telling you, this is what he was telling them. He will warn the Corinthians that if they repeat Israel unfaithfulness to God, they too will receive their judgment and failure. And in other words, you won't reap. You know, I had to find this out. Yes, St. John 10:10 said Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundant. You ain't going to have that abundant life if you don't humble yourself and submit and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, of the commandments of God. You're not going to experience that. Because all of God promised, yeah, there, yes, and amen, Christ. That means Christ made it possible through his finishing work for it to be done. But it's not going to happen if you choose, listen at me, after act of your will, not to yield or humble yourself. You see, I used to hear folks say, the Lord will humble you. I found out what really humbled me is when I rebel against the laws and the principles of God and the consequences show up. That's what humbled me. The trouble that I cause on myself because I choose to be stubborn. Yeah, that'll humble you. Trouble will humble you. But God ain't going to break my leg or break my arm or put cancer on me. But if I willingly choose to rebel against the laws and principles of God, I can open the door and cause certain things to happen to me. Well, I can hear somebody say, well, what about the one ain't did nothing? There too again, what I tell you, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I know he said, by his stripes you healed, and you have to stand on that. The rest of it you take up with God when you get to heaven. But my point is this. We, as an act of our will, and somebody listening at me, right? You need to go back. Some of the things you mumbled, I don't know why God ain't did this one. You might need to go back and examine yourself. Paul said to the Ephesians, in Ephesians, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. And he said, when you done all in evil days, you stand. Have you done everything that God required you to do in that situation? Sometimes we don't be not did everything that God required us to do in a situation, and then we want to get mad with God about it. God, why you ain't did that? Why you ain't did this? But did you do what God told you to do? Listen, you have to humble yourself and submit and obey what he telling you to do in a situation. I know one time in a situation I was dealing with, and God kept telling me, be quiet, Ann. And be quiet, be slow to speak. And I wouldn't do it. And guess what? I missed out on a blessing. And it wasn't the devil's fault. It was, yeah, the devil might have influenced me. You know, I had a little bit of help. But I didn't have to let him do it. And a lot of times, some of this stuff people blaming on God. You need to go back and examine yourself through the word. Did I do what God told me to do in this situation? Well, what did God say? He said it through his word. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will whisper to you and tell you what not to do. And this is what he was trying to tell them. Don't do what they did. Because some of them, they were doing exactly what they were repeating, what the truth is. They were rebellious. They were rebellious. They choose not to do what God say do. And guess what? They caused themselves not to enter into the promised land. Well, we can cause ourselves not to experience the blessings of God. But I'm telling you, go back and examine yourself. You that blaming God and blaming everybody for what's happening to you in life, go back and examine yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, open up my eyes. I've been blaming God, the devil, and everybody. Show me my part I played in this situation. Did I cause it to be hard? Some people don't want to give tithes and offerings. And you struggling, and you want to blame everybody. You want to blame the system. You can't do that. Go back and examine yourself based upon what the Word of God say. I promise you'll find out like I found out. That why I don't blame God. I don't blame people. I don't even blame the devil. The devil can't do no more than I allow him, nor with people. Remember, if you read the book, we won. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I thank you for your word. I give you praise. I give you honor. And I thank you as we go off there, those that tune in, I ask your Holy Spirit, you continue to reveal and revelate to them and give them understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy the rest of your day.